Hi everybody, and welcome back to another podcast. Oh, we're all beginning to join now. I thought you had all abandoned me. I can see Leslie, Adrian, Jed, Grantonio. I wonder Jed wants to come in. Yes, let me just bring Jed in. Thank you all so much for being here. And Joel, great to see you as well. I recognize you, of course, my good friend. Hopefully this, I'll just give it a minute or so till everybody comes onto the stream. Adrian, I see you now. And then we will get going. I see Farmer D entering the live studio on his tractor even as we speak. Hi to Farmer D, great to see you here as well. Thanks for coming along for our weekly discussion. Now, we didn't have one last week because I was away on the Thursday. I was traveling at the time, so I couldn't do it. So that situation is probably going to happen once a month, actually. So while we can do all these, we'll do all these. And it's as that's how I want to do it. So lots of things to discuss, I suppose. Adrian, I know you're there. If you can come in, that would be great as well. I know our friend City Troll, Jed, was having conversations about what time it was, so I don't see him here yet, but hopefully
yes, mate. I've just messaged him as well and told him we're now live, so hopefully he'll be across. But I did put him correct on the time difference. I know it's a time warp for Paddy, and I know he has trouble telling the time. I know he's got a lesson on it later.
Well, the thing is, Jed, I mean, the thing is that this happened. We've had experience of this over the years, the last couple of years, when we're trying to do live stuff and the time difference between the UK and especially the States, it throws everything out of sync.
It does, mate, yeah, because their clocks change as well. We've already got the time difference, and then their clocks change different to our clocks, because obviously ours spring forward from the 21st normally. So he weren't sure if it was a 1 hour difference, a 2 hour difference, or a 3 hour difference. It actually works out there, it's a 3 hour difference for this week.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Anyway, hi Anne Marie, by the way. Good to see our good friend Anne Marie, John Saunderson here as well. Of course, it's great to have met some of you people. I know, all of a sudden we're sitting here the 21st of March, but it's not that long ago since some of us were together on the 1st of March for our live show. And just to let everyone know that the video, Jed, for that live show is now available, isn't it?
That's right. You can find it on the homepage at devinvance.net. So if you click on the thumbnail that is there on the exclusive video section, once you go in it, even if you've bought a product from us before, you'll have to buy this content, this video. Once you click buy now, fill out the form. Even if you've got an account with us from previous videos that you've bought, fill out the form. Press pay now or complete payment, I think it's called. Take you to Stripe, you can pay your money, and then when it comes back to the website, you then can click on the content, log in and watch it. Okay, or log in and then click on the content and watch it. You can't log in with an old account and then try and pay. It will not let you do that. You must pay first, then come back and log in. Can I just say, Paddy has said he's having trouble getting in, David, to the, not just to the studio, but to the app, I think. It must be the time difference or something like that. We're through.
Okay, well, that's fine. No problem. Hey, that's good news, everyone. We can talk extra about the Americans. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the moon landings because Paddy gets upset when we talk about the moon landings. It didn't happen. So maybe we'll talk about that. Anyway, let's cut into the meat. We've got Adrian in the studio, Jen in the studio, myself. Anyone's welcome. By the way, sorry, before we get going, Leslie says memories as regards what we did on March the 1st. Just to let everyone know that the next Hold the Line is in planning stage at the moment, and there will be another one. And when I reveal who the guests will be, I think you will be really pleased. And let's say it's going to be different again, very different. So And we've got big plans for tour later on in the year as well. So loads of things kicking off in the background, Leslie. It's going to be really interesting. And actually, I'll put this one out there just in case anybody knows a venue somewhere in the Midlands-ish, somewhere like that. Pity Chris Davies isn't on the stream. He might know that would actually host such an event and that would be cancel-proof. But we're trying to move. We always say I didn't want this to be just all about London. It's just that it, it was convenient for the first couple. The next one won't be in the same venue, which of course continues to remain anonymous.
No, you're absolutely right, mate. And it's difficult, guys, obviously, as you probably understand, that when you're on the right of politics, to find somewhere not so much that will host you, but once they're hosting you and people find out that they don't bow to the mobs. He's here. We've talked about the moon landings, Paddy, so you can go now.
There you go.
Hi, Paddy. A very warm welcome. Thanks for joining us, my friend, all the way across there from the US of A. We're glad to have you with us, as always, of course. And as I said, look, let's get going now. So we've talked enough about some of the other stuff. I wanted to start off talking about the disappearing princess because I've had so much fun about this one. And of course, what I'm talking about is Princess Catherine, Princess Kate, whatever you want to call her, and the fact that there's been all these shenanigans. And I have to say, I mean, Jed can confirm. I put a podcast out on it the other day, I think it was Jed. But anyway, it's one of the biggest podcasts we've ever had in terms of the number of views, or certainly right up there. And I've put Substacks out on it as well, and they've all done really well. So I think there is interest in this story, even if you might say it's a distraction, even if you might say, does it really matter? Leslie says, isn't it fun? I feel like Miss Marple. Well, the thing is, Leslie, I mean, look, I am so far down the rabbit holes in this one. It's amazing. Everyone knows the background to this one. Basically, Kate allegedly went in for surgery on the 16th of January, abdominal surgery. We weren't told what it was, the nature of it was. And she hasn't been seen since. In fact, she hasn't been seen specifically since the 25th of December. And she's to be our future queen. And we've had all these photoshopped images sent out, which we've all had great fun. The memes have been brilliant. Gigi Law jumps right in there. She died from the jab, is my guess. Well, Gigi Law, or aka Republican Rocker, yeah, who knows? Let's put it like this. I'll go around everybody and you can all have your opinion because I've said enough already probably. But the one thing I would say I'm pretty certain about, the reason we haven't seen her is because they don't want us to see her. And beyond that, I can't comment. I don't know. But anyway, we'll go around. Everyone can have their say. Jed, if you're able to come in on this one, what's your thinking on this one?
Well, I've studied the video, and that is not the girl that they're using there doesn't have the same facial features. She is much younger. Although my good lady, who is always right on any matter, because I think she's in earshot, that's right on any matter, says it is her, and I don't think it is. It's not, and it certainly doesn't look like him either. And why would? It's just weird. The amount of photographs that are coming out that are doctored. I mean, you showed one today, didn't you, with William. And you can see another baby's hand in his hand. So it's been cut from another photo, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And why, though? If there's nothing wrong, why not come out to the public, get the press at the palace and say, look, film us now. We've got today's newspaper, look. It's got today's date on it, yeah? But they won't. So why not? And the pictures that are coming out from them. It's all a bit weird. There's something not right.
Yeah, Adrian, you're sitting there patiently. I'll bring you in. What's your thoughts on this one? Is this just a story, or is there more to it, or what do you think?
I can't make head nor tail of it. It's strange. Jed made the great point. Like, why do they just not come out and quash this straight away? They're only adding fuel to the rumours and all the conspiracies that are going about. You know, we had William having to dash off or cancel, shall we say, an appearance at his godfather's memorial service due to personal reasons.
Yeah.
You know, nothing explained about that. You know, if she did have a hysterectomy, as some people are suggesting, they put out the charts as prostate cancer. So why wouldn't they put that out about Kate? Or, you know, I don't know, she maybe had an accident or something in there. You know, they're trying to cover it up as best as they can, but being the royals, sometimes they screw it up by saying.
Did she die during surgery? Did she die during surgery, mate?
Who knows? But it's very strange considering Charles is trying to be open about his prostate cancer, but yet they're hiding this so much. It's weird.
That's what I mean, though, because sometimes these simple operations, you know, routine, what they call routine operations, you know, can have dire consequences, can't they? And more often, no, I won't say more often than that, but often they do have dire consequences, we just get on with it.
We also have the issue now of a data breach that has supposedly happened with somebody trying to look at the records as well. So that's just adding more fuel to the fire.
No, it is, yeah. No, I saw that, but if there's been a and it's a data breach, not a data breach. It's a data breach. We're not American. We can speak English. And I'll wait for Paddy jumping. But
you're
the point is,
my,
we haven't seen the data.
I'm just sitting on the naughty step.
But the point is, we've not had that data come out, have we? You know, and you could even say, you know, with Christine Horner, we've had the text messages, we've had the pictures, yeah, about his alleged dealings, but we've not had any of this. There is something fundamentally wrong. And let's say, I'm going to pose the question to all of you, because I know David normally puts the questions on it. But if she's died, why are they not telling us? So let's hypothesize that, let's say she did die during surgery. Why have they not told us?
Would the funeral plans for her have been set in stone? Do you know the way, like, they would have had Operation London Bridge in stone for the Queen and Charles and all that for so long? Would hers have been set up, do you think? Is that maybe why? Maybe they need to break it to the children? I don't know.
Let's get an opinion from the other side of the Atlantic and our friend City Troll over there in the US of A. Paddy, have you been following this bizarre story concerning the British royals and Princess Catherine?
She's been around that family too long. She's in Carfax Abbey. They have her eating. She's in there sharing a cell with Renfield, eating the bugs, man. They can't show you that. All the body doubles coming out. She's flipped her lid, man. She's just gone. They can't. She's not ready for the public, or they would stroll her out with a newspaper. They got to get the chemistry right before they let her be viewed by the public.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, we've got Grantonio joining us. Grantonio, have you got an opinion on this mystery of our times?
I think that the royal family, the firm, whatever you call them, know what they're doing. I think that they're releasing photos that are so badly photoshopped to create the fuss. So all these stories about, you know, they want to be left alone and all this sort of stuff, there's something odd about the family photo of Kate with the three children. And they've all got their fingers crossed in that very bizarre way. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were releasing a very badly photoshopped image. They knew that this would create a fuss. That image of them that was at the farm shop 2 or 3 days ago, nobody here on this stream surely believes that's her. No, we all know that that's not Kate.
Sorry, Grantonio, I don't think anybody in the UK believes that video was her. It was clearly a looky-likey.
I submit to you that the palace know what they're doing by creating all of this. If they didn't want a problem, they would just say, she's not well. That's it. They're creating this problem. Now, why? That's the next question. What else is going on? It could be that they're panicking about something. Could we have two royal deaths at hand? I don't know. There's been rumours. Could it be that somebody, some you know, attractive lady of the aristocracy is pregnant, you know, by a future king. There's a lot of odd things. That chap that committed suicide 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. There's a lot of strange things going on.
Hey, Grantonio, Kensington Palace have just been on the phone to me. They said that they've reserved a cell for you in the Tower of London.
Right. Okay. Well, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. But listen, Grantonio, I'll just finish this one, then we'll go back around. Look, I actually suspect that what you're saying is, and I did do a thing on this, is actually right. I think this is all, as Anne-Marie saying, it's almost like they can't be that cack-handed that it's just, you know, poor Photoshops and all that. No. I think it's deliberate so that we do stuff like this. They unveil her in a few weeks' time, and then Grantonio, they come in and say, aha, we need to put more rules in line with podcasts and social media to stop this scurrilous online hate. Is that the real agenda?
That was one theory that I had. But the other thing that made my ears prick up, I mean, the whole thing's made my ears prick up, but this BBC journalist that came out yesterday or the day before and said, oh, it's clearly not her. There was just something odd about the way that was a story. I mean, there must be lots of BBC journalists who are saying exactly the same thing, but they just allowed this one to get through. If they didn't want that to be a story, they would just not report it. The media are in lockstep with the palace with this very strange game that they're playing. And very quickly, David, it's my understanding that there's going to be an eclipse in America on April the 8th, I believe. And I'll just leave this with you. Royal births and eclipses, and that's all.
Don't blame us for this.
Is that total eclipse of the heart? I'm sorry, couldn't help that one. The thing is, I understand where you're coming from, David, are they then going to wheel her out in a few weeks' time and go, look, all the conspiracy theorists, we have to shut them down. I understand that, but I do think there is something fundamentally wrong with the royal family. Now, we've had people born and die under one queen. You can guarantee now all of us are now going to see a third royal king or queen, aren't we? Because we've had the queen, we've had the king, and you definitely, in your lifetime now, you are going to see another king. Guarantee it. Now, is there something to do with Charles and his not prostate cancer? Yeah. I know they're lining them up, but Kate is really ill after her surgery. She's had complications. She's got that MS. No. What's that bug you get in hospital that you can only get in hospital because they now don't clean hospitals like they used to?
Depression.
No. But
the bug eating.
Where you get infected.
Mercy.
Yeah, you get infected.
Each your way, man. That's
you know, a super bug from the hospital because the hospitals aren't clean properly anymore. Why? Because it's contracted out. Won't go down that road. But has she got something like that? Is she actually really seriously ill? But if she is, why is William not coming out and saying, no, my wife's okay. She's not feeling great, but hey, we're getting through it. Nobody's coming out. And I'm not sure that my tinfoil hat will go to the point that the government are actually going to use this to shut us down when they will.
Can I also just throw in the fact that, I mean, this has all been about Kate, obviously, and Kate, this, that, and the other. But then did you see the photograph, Grantonio, you might have seen this as well. There was a photograph taken in 2021 when Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth was still alive, and it was her sitting on the sort of sofa with all the grandkids, which is a lovely photograph, except for one thing. It was photoshopped as well. So I am at the point where I'm thinking, can we believe anything concerning the royal, anything we see or anything we hear about the royals? I don't believe anything. Yes, Anne-Marie, I know what David Icke's been saying about them. He thinks some of them are lizards. Yeah, I know that. But I mean, like that was the Queen. So And I don't, look, again, everyone's opinion in this one. What do you think, guys? Like, I don't think, what we're being asked to believe is that members of the royal family, Kate in particular, are just sitting around, you know, doing, taking a photograph, doing a wee bit of Photoshop, touch-up filters on it, whacking it out to the world's media. That's rubbish. It doesn't work that way. And that's why, Grantonio, I think we're on the same page in this. This is not accidental. But, this is deliberate.
But we are expected to believe that she's taken that photograph because she has always taken the kids' photographs that have been released so far. Do you know what I mean? The stage was set because she has released them on their third, fourth, fifth birthdays, whenever. So yeah. Now she was saying she was just experimenting and she got it wrong. So it's not just like, oh, here's a random picture, I'm putting it out. She has a history of putting pictures out. But again, also, it's very strange that it was such a disaster that she did put that out.
But also, I've seen a video where Sunday's taken an image that she had on the cover of Vogue, and they've digitally imprinted it over the top of that image that she let out. And it's exactly, and it's exactly the same image, pixel to pixel. So is it a Photoshop made picture completely pulled together from several different photos, or is it one photo that's been badly edited by her? Now, you know, I do some Photoshop editing, as you know, David, and yes, I'm not the best Photoshop editor in the world, but if I was the royal family and I was Photoshopping for a hobby, I was taking my pictures and I was Photoshopping, and I went, press office, here's the picture, they'd go, whoa, hang on, Jed. That looks awful. Can we just have the original and we'll get somebody professional to Photoshop it, yeah, to enhance it, to make it look great. All photos nowadays are enhanced. Tell you now, without a shadow of a doubt, they are enhanced. But the point is, they would have said, can we have the raw image, because it's a raw file, R-A-W, yeah, file. Can we have that and we'll get somebody professional to enhance it, so you know you've all got white teeth and you've all got lovely blue eyes or whatever it might be. It's my level of Photoshopping, and that's bad, if you see what I mean. But or is it a combination of several photos photoshopped together? And if you look at that video where he blends the Vogue image over the top of the other and then uses transparency to make it disappear, it is an identical copy. The facial expression, the eyes, the mouth, the teeth, everything is exactly, the eyebrows are all pixel perfect.
I've seen that image, Jed. It's the same image. Yeah. It's exactly the same.
And that's a Photoshop. So that means everything in that photo potentially has been brought together from several independent or separate images to make one image. Which is easy, you know, with a professional, actually, you could do it and never know. Without seeing the raw data file that he's done it with, because the pixels will be different, the quantity and the you know, you talk about megapixels and stuff, the quantity of pixels will be different in each image. But with a professional bringing it together as one image, you would never know it was one image, separate images. The fact that it's been done so poorly leads me to believe it is several images brought together.
Did you clock? Sorry, yeah, but.
Go ahead. All right. I was just saying, yeah, but come on. This is one of the richest families in the world. If they even hire good tech people, this software is not expensive. AI, you can make anything, any picture look absolutely perfect with the AI software that exists now. Come on. These people got to get their act together. Even if you commit frauds, they're doing this very low budget.
Or they know what they're doing, Paddy.
I find it more worrying.
Part of the conspiracy, that they make it that.
You know, I find it more worrying that they're just saying abdominal surgery and they won't say anything else. And that's it. You know, they've told us the king has prostate cancer. So what kind of abdominal surgery is so bad that they will not tell the people? But that's not bad.
Mean there will be no more offspring for what will be the future king.
Yes, but there's three there already.
Well, what, it, you know, three kids, so, something could happen.
Well,
it?
Exactly.
Two boys.
Carry on.
No, sorry. Go ahead, Grant.
Well, the It's my understanding, and you can correct me on this, Kate Middleton is not aristocracy, and I could be wrong. I understand her to be sort of upper middle class. What if, hypothetically, just somebody else might have been impregnated very recently who happens to be aristocracy and would be the sort of the pure line that...
Time for another royal annulment.
Well, here's the thing. She wouldn't be the first Princess of Wales who had problems within this royal family now, would she? That's my point. My point is that Diana got in, and she was of royal background. Kate Middleton is upper middle class. She's not from royal background at all. So, and Diana couldn't take it from within, and we all know what happened to her. As I said, I was doing the Richie Allen show the other day, and we were talking about this, and I said, if I was Princess Catherine, I wouldn't be taking any trips in a limo through the tunnels in Paris.
Surely she holds the aces up her sleeve, though.
I thought she was from the hood. I thought she was, you know, from the back streets of Salford.
Do you not remember they were classing her as a pauper because the family were not aristocracy? They were classing her as a pauper at first.
No, they were, mate. They were. You're absolutely right, and that's how it came out at the beginning, wasn't it? And compare her to royal family, royal blood. She is. Just like from the hood, you know, in the back streets of Salford, or from, I'm trying to think, from Bradford, if you see what I mean. She is of that class. If you see, the difference between her and the royal family in class-wise is that big.
Middle class England.
In reality. Yeah, if you see what I mean.
Was there not a rumour about Diana being pregnant when she died? Has that been confirmed?
There was.
But do you think William has sowed his royal seed somewhere else, Grantony? Is that, do you think?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Is that why he had bruise marks around his neck and then somebody... And that's, I'm just saying also somebody close to the royal family died, didn't they, recently?
Committed suicide.
Remember, suicide is painless, but it brings on many changes. But however, then William tends to have bruises around his neck, like he's been in some sort of altercation with somebody, maybe. And maybe that's why he can't come out, because maybe he's got a black eye and a busted lip from this altercation.
Maybe.
And then maybe if we put all that together, maybe then from this altercation, somebody died and he's now been buried. Maybe. Yeah,
maybe Prince William is responsible for stealing Matthew Stadland.
I
would say David's hit the nail on the head with online speech and hate and things like that. I would say it'll be a call for that.
Yeah, well, actually, Adrian, thanks for that. That's a nice little segue. And Grantonio, you stay on for this bit, because the next thing I wanted to talk about, Scotland again. And again, very quickly, the summary position here is that Scotland, from the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, has basically bringing in new so-called hate crime law legislation, which essentially provides Police Scotland with the ability to check out what comedians are saying, what actors are saying in different plays, as well as what plebs like you and I are saying on social media. And they can potentially criminalise us. And apparently Police Scotland have been given direction by the Scottish government, Humza Yousaf's gang, in regard to this. So that got me thinking, gosh, the Edinburgh Fringe is going to be a bit dull this year.
You beat me to it, David. I was about to say, it's not going to make any difference to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, I know. Grantino, that spoils the whole joke for me, because I thought, oh, the Edinburgh Fringe is going to be terrible. But of course, you're dead right, it won't. It's full of the most woke crap comedians you could ever assemble. So it won't make any difference to them. But for a country, Grantonio, that has given us great comics, like, say, Billy Connolly, for example, you know, I don't think that even could be possible in this SNP humorless hellscape that comes in at the beginning of April. And finally, this goes to you first, Grantonio. Final point. I've spoken to some other Scottish writers and whatnot, and they're kind of panicking a bit, thinking, Yeah, like what's going to happen to me from the 1st of April? Will I get a knock at the door if I write a piece critical of, you know, name your subject, Grantonio, Islam, SNP, any of that, any stuff at all? Gender critical views, for example, what's going to happen? So, Grantonio, we'll come to you first because you're in the hellscape. What's going
to
happen?
I think if you were to ask the majority of Scots well before April the 1st, if they feel comfortable saying what they think in, say, the workplace, I think the majority of them would say no. They don't feel that they could say what they want and get away with it. There's footage of, you'll have probably seen this, David. Maybe you've retweeted it, but there's footage of Humza Useless. He's telling one of his SNP colleagues, they're complaining about this hate crime bill, and he's saying to them, "What? So you mean you want to be racist in your own home? You want to be transphobic in your own home? Because do you remember that hate bill that was talking about people being transphobic and all the rest of it in their own home?" And they're all saying, "No, no, no." But the answer to that should be, "Yes, I want to be as obnoxious as I possibly can be in my own home. Yep. I have a right to be as horrendous, obnoxious as I want to be in my own head." Yes. And that's the point of freedom of speech, is we have to give freedom of speech to ideas that we don't like and abhorrent views that we don't like. So we're just losing. We're losing.
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, do you want to come in this one? This whole business about the Scottish thought police are going to be coming for everybody, and everybody in Scotland anyway, because I don't think the legislation extends outside Scotland. If it does, oh boy, are we in trouble. But Jed, what do you make of this fact that the police are going to check, you know, comedians, and they're going to check actors and plays? I mean, a Shakespeare play arguably could be seen as being racist or, you know, sexist or whatever. I mean, where is this going to end?
I say bring it on for Scotland. And no offence, Grantonio, I know you have to live there, but you're always welcome in England. But I say bring it on. Because the people that champion this sort of thing, as you've just said, the fringe is the wokest thing on the planet now. And that'll be great when the police are banging on the door of the comedy clubs in Fringe and lifting those woke people for things that they have said that breach the law in Scotland.
Can I just come in very quickly? Sorry to interrupt. If there's one person that needs to be arrested for racism in Scotland, it's Humza Useless. You're right.
White. Yeah. No, absolutely. But when they start locking up and arresting the woke mob who think they are immune to all this, they want all this legislation. They want all this suppression of freedom of speech. They want that. And when it's their turn to be locked up and they're going, "Whoa, you're arresting me for what? Because I said a joke. You can't do that." And the police will go, "Yes, we can, because that's what you asked us to do. And I will be rolling around in the aisles because that will be the most funniest comedy in the world. And the reason I can roll about in the aisles is because I live in England and I don't live in Scotland. And those that do live in Scotland, I suggest you get a passport, because you're going to need one soon. Get a passport and come to England. Oh, no, just get on the dinghy and come to England. You'll get free everything."
Well, the thing is that this legislation that's behind this, Adrian, it's not just in Scotland, if only. But, I mean, we're going to have it here in Northern Ireland as well. It's one of the priorities for our ludicrous Justice Minister, Naomi Long. And it's going to be the same thing. So you and I are going to be in the same situation as Grantonio and everyone in Scotland. Adrian.
Yeah, but like, so where does this end? So like, if a comedian tells a joke, I might not find it funny. Grantonio could be rolling on the floor, wetting himself laughing, thinking it's the best joke ever. So who defines what hate actually is? Because perceptions are so different. And where does it end? This will then stifle people writing books, writing plays, making music. You listen to some of the rap music at the minute, and it's about killing people and shooting police and doing all sorts. So, like, are those artists going to be banned? You know, where does this actually end? And you mentioned about those artists or those writers who were afraid to publish articles. They're the people we need to stand and fight. They're the ones that have the voice to put the counter argument out there. They need to be the brave ones that stand up and say, no, this is just complete and utter.
Well, there was one thing, Paddy, I'll come to you next, but there was one thing also just on a Scottish angle, but this was, I saw people were taunting J.K. Rowling, and they were saying to J.K. Rowling, oh, 1st of April, you're going to be in trouble, pal. You're going to have to delete all your previous gender critical tweets. But of course, the law is in retrospective. It starts on April the 1st. Again, they couldn't have picked a better date. So it'll be going forward that the legislation kicks in. So, Paddy, this hate crime speech that they're introducing in Scotland that we're going to have in Northern Ireland, and as Anne-Marie says, we're going to have in England as well because Stormer's going to bring it in and stuff. What do you think about this from a freedom of speech point of view?
This is just blasphemy. This is like, I don't care. It's bad enough they steal our money and then do all the crazy crap. You can't silence people. You silence people, that evokes violence. You cannot, this is such nonsense. As of now, we need to take our servers and all the whatever the broadcast, what is counted as the broadcast location, and make it from my back, make it from my deck so that you guys can broadcast and none of the laws will apply to you because it'll be originating in the United States. But this is ridiculous. They want to silence, they want to end free speech. Free speech is the core of all humanity. If you can't speak freely, you're oppressed. When people can speak their minds freely, I don't care how ludicrous what you have to say is, I want to hear it, because if it's ludicrous, I'll laugh in your face. If it's not ludicrous, maybe I'll support you. But you know what? I want to hear from everybody. I don't care if I totally disagree with you or not. And anyone who tries to change that or silence that or put a vice on that, it needs a re-education.
Paddy, see, that's the problem. I'm sorry to jump right in there. That is the problem, because you're looking at this from a free speech, absolute free speech wing or side of the argument. The people who are bringing in this legislation and the people that support this legislation don't want you to have that free speech. They don't want the open debate. They don't want the bad ideas out there so they can be quashed.
They never do.
And the reason being is, they are the ones with the bad ideas, gender critical this, gender climate that, net zero that. They're the ones with the bad ideas.
The worst part,
and to keep those bad ideas alive, they can't have other people criticizing them. So what they want to do is shut down the debate.
And here's the crux of it. Here's what it is. Because not only do they have the bad ideas, their ideas have been proven that they do not work. And it's obvious to everybody. But if they can shut us down, we can't say, that's stupidish.
No, it's right, Paddy, but that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Their argument does not hold water. But because if your argument doesn't hold water, the only way to win the argument is to close the other side down with legislation.
And it's not just on your side of the pond. I'm sorry, let me finish this one up, and then I'll let you in, Grant. I'm sorry. Did we just have Ketanji Brown, whatever, Supreme Court judge, highest court of the land. The First Amendment interferes with the government's right to the government's ability to control. That's the whole point, honey. And you're on the Supreme Court. You're supposed to judge by what the Constitution said. Your job is to see whether any law or anything passed interferes with the Constitution. The Constitution's job is to restrict government. The First One Amendment is free speech. You can't say crap about anything I have to say, period.
I with regards to what you and Jed are saying about freedom of speech, I used to be a supporter of absolute freedom of speech, but then I watched an episode of Mrs. Brown.
I like that one.
That's twist. That's good.
Actually, Grantona, I didn't mind that when it first started. The first few seasons of it, I thought, it's funny. It's a bit of slapstick humour. But then it just became, it's the same jokes every time. It's the same slapstick humour every time. There's nothing
it's
different.
Not funny.
It's just... No, you're right. It turns out not to be funny. It turns out to go, I know what she's going to say now. Oh, and the canned laughter in the background, like the Americans used to have, you know, the canned laughter. You go, oh, I can hear that same voice again. Oh, that's that same voice on every episode. It is crap. It is utter crap. I literally wouldn't touch it with a barge pole now.
Yeah. Well, look. The thing is, we'll wait to see what happens in Scotland. But as I say, it's coming for the rest of us. Adrian is coming for us here as well. You know, they are definitely. I think by 2026, we're going to be in a very challenged environment where even discussions like this are probably going to be, you know, being policed.
Start adopting pen names and putting stuff out on the internet. You know, hide your identity, you know, create a nom de plume and just put stuff out on Substack, different articles out. There's ways around this.
Why should we do that, Adrian? Why should we do that?
Because we have to keep going and keep fighting against them. We can't just, because not enough people will stand up against it. So you need people still putting stuff out there for others to read to counter the narrative until they finally see it and are willing to stand up.
Yeah, but why should people use, you know, pseudonyms and things?
Well, here, if Nikki Haley can do it, we can all do it.
Because people like me still need to earn a living. That's why.
You need because pseudonyms over there. Over here, it's like, I got guns, you know?
I was waiting for the gun argument. I already put that out, Paddy, that you had 700 million guns. But the point is, we have to have pseudonyms because the left, to win the argument, the only way they can win that argument is shutting you down, making you lose your livelihood and everything you have built
Paddy,
up. So you have to have a
pseudonym. It was good enough for your founding fathers to do it. So, you know what? It's good enough for the rest of us to do it. They won in the end,
it's
didn't
it?
It's
a basic rule of humanity. And everywhere in the world, if you suppress people's ability to speech, it's a tyranny. And I don't care what English, African, Chinese, Russian, whatever. You're suppressing people's speech. You're tyrannical and you need, and there needs to be revolt. Free speech is the right that every human is born with, free speech and free thought, and that it, crushing that in any form is a sin.
The people doing it are sinners, Paddy. That's your problem. The globalist filth behind all of this they delight in the in shutting us down. They couldn't care less if you think it's your birthright. They don't. They want to strip you from it, Adrian.
What I was going to say there is you've got people like the World Economic Forum pulling those strings, and what they'll do is we'll try it in Scotland first, see if we can get away with it. And if we can get away with it in Scotland, then we'll do it somewhere else. And then we'll do it somewhere else. And then before you know it, we're all under the same roof.
Well, can I just actually, Adrian, just come in the back of that one? I hadn't planned to talk about this. And by the way, we've only got another 15 minutes or so to go before 9 o'clock. So if we're going to go for an extra half an hour, there needs to be some more of the coffee beans added into the pot to keep this thing going. What do you think of Leo Varadkar, the Irish Prime Minister, suddenly, 2 weeks after the referendum that he lost? What did you think of him stepping down? I believe it was deliberate. I think the globalists had a word with our little Leo and said, Leo, you were told to deliver an attack on the family, an attack on marriage, attack on the basic goodness of the Irish Constitution, and you failed, so on your bike. That's what I think happened. Does anyone want to comment? Adrian, do you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, I think that was what was told too. And don't forget, Varadkar, when that young girl was stabbed, Varadkar was very much on the side of the person who'd done the stabbing. And I think the people have just rose up and just went, enough's enough. We're not taking your woke agenda into the Constitution. We're going to keep what a woman is. We're going to keep what a family unit is. And you've seen the uprising, the protests in all the different towns across the South. And I think that resounding message was a wake-up call to the globalists. And it was a case, you're out, the next one will be in.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the thing about it is as well, if anyone else wants to come in the Irish scenario, but I've seen lots of people online saying, yeah, we got rid of Varadkar. Let's hope the next one's going to be okay. And they misunderstand. He can't be okay. The next one won't be okay because the globalists will keep you know, shuttling in whoever it is, Micheál Martin, Mary Lou McDonald, Sinn Féin, whoever, they're all the same. They are all the same. They're all globalist filth. And Ireland is a bit like Scotland. It's funny, actually, isn't it? Or not in a humorous way, but they're like test labs. Scotland, they're trialing this hate speech. Ireland, it's just absolute destruction of the Irish country, you know, the country, the nation, by mass immigration. And they need to have Taoiseachs, prime ministers, who will go along with it.
I see revolution on the horizon.
Well, you know, Jen,
and
I'm
it will not be televised. Well, this is it. I think, you know, when we get to that point, I don't think we're at the point yet. And I don't think America are also at that point. But when we get to the point where the everyday Joe on the street, your bricky, your plumber, yeah, your road sweeper, gets home and he puts his feet up in front of the telly, and he sits down and he turns around to his good old lady who's, you know, cooked him a good tater rash for his tea to warm his cockles after a cold day on working outside. And he turns around and he says, oh, I heard this joke at work today, X, Y, Z. And she starts laughing and he starts laughing. And then there's on the door, knock on the door, and the police are there saying, right, we're taking you away. That's when Joe Public, who don't take any notice of politics, don't take any notice to go, well, this is my lot. I go out, I go and work, I come home, I put my feet up, I have my tea in front of the telly, I go to bed, I do that 5 days a week. Friday night, I go out and get lashed. The wife goes out on Saturday night, she goes and gets lashed. Sunday, we have a roast, and then we start the whole thing again. When those sort of people start getting arrested and locked up for what they see as, well, I've said this for years. You know, I've said this. My dad said this to me. His dad said it to him. And when they start getting locked up for that, they'll realize that actually politics is politics love those sort of people. Those sort of people who just put the feet up. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't understand politics. Politics is not for me. Politicians love those people, because it's those people that they want to control, and it's those people that won't fight back. But when they start getting arrested and losing, for example, losing their cars because they have to have electric and they can't afford electric, so they have to give their car, because that will come. You will be forced to get rid of your petrol or diesel car and get an electric. And if you can't afford electric, tough, you're on the bus.
That's when the revolution begins over here.
When the revolution starts to begin, and it does, it'll start to begin in the pubs. When a mate goes to the pub on a Friday night and he says, oh, do you know Fred got arrested because he told his wife this joke and the police came around. She mentioned it at work and then that got told and then they came and arrested him. Oh, and do you know Joe, he had to sell his car that he's had for 40 years. He loved that car. He polished it every Sunday. Yeah, and he loved it, but he's had to sell it and now he has to get on the bus because he can't afford an electric car, because he can't afford to charge it, because he doesn't have a drive. He lives on the 10th floor of a block of flats, but he's had to sell his pride and joy and now he has to walk to work in the rain.
He lives in a 15-minute city, doesn't he?
But then all that stuff, well, then they'll go, hang on, what's got... Where is the world that I thought was out there when I put my feet up and... And it's not there, and that world is slowly disappearing. And once it's disappeared, revolution will ensue.
I'm just laughing. Farmer D says, my sheep don't even follow me. So
I like that one. That's a good farmer joke there, isn't it? Are you just a boy? I think it's bollocks, but never mind.
Well, talking of sheep, Ben, talking of sheep, let's move it on a wee bit. Here we are in Lent. Obviously, you know, part of the Christian calendar, and the media in the States and here in the UK, thank you, Joel, for the gift, appreciate that. The media in the UK and Ireland have been running this story. I've seen it in ABC, NBC, Sky, Times, and the story is, fasting can cause heart attacks. And what they're saying is, you know, you need to watch out if you do this intermittent fasting, and which some Christian people will do this time of the year, because it causes heart attacks. And what really annoys me is, it's I don't think it's the fasting that's causing the heart attack. It's the things that we've been talking about here for years, namely their gene therapy at best, which is not really the toxic jabs.
Clot
is,
shot.
I believe, clearly the clot shot jab. Yes, Paddy. Yeah, but Paddy, go with you in this one first. You know what a cheek they've got. They've got such a cheek. And Adrian makes a bloody good point. Does it happen to Muslims during Ramadan then? No, Adrian. Apparently it's only if Christians fast that die of heart attacks. What utter crap, Paddy.
This is pure propaganda. It's just like, you know, this crap, you know, for one thing, it's convenient. Okay, we can spin it this time against the Christians because Christians are always fun to beat on, you know. But the thing is, it's like, they don't know. 1 minute eggs are good for you. 1 minute eggs are bad for you. They don't know crap. Their shots are killing people. These experimental drugs, they did a mass. They'll do any excuse to try to hide the excess numbers. We still have people dropping dead left and right. And this is going to continue for the next 20 years for the effects of this crap they forced on a large portion of the population.
Yeah, but I think it's satanic. Adrian, come to you in this one next. I mean, I think the fact that the media is launching this psyop saying, oh, heart attacks.
Well the media is fast. Satanic, David. I mean, come on.
Well,
You're all commies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're worse even. But if only they were commies. Adrian, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's just more nonsense. Do you remember, sure, a while back, what was it? Making your bed can give you a heart attack. Having your alarm go off too early can give you a heart attack. It's just anything to try and us off with more nonsense. Do you know what I mean? And some people will fall for it, you know, but the majority now are just going.
Yeah. Did you see, Adrian, the other one that came out the other day? They said that going out in the sun, if you get too much sunshine, that's going to cause a heart attack as well.
It's one of the best bloody things for you. Is being out in the sun.
Yeah. Oh, but that's right. But that's the whole point.
Anne-Marie
O'Sullivan here. Sorry, just wanted to say, Anne-Marie here, who, of course, I met at our event in London. Anne-Marie observes that, you know, like intermittent fasting is actually good for you. Getting out in the sunshine is good for you. And I think what they do is they take these things that are good for us and they invert them. Like, for example, during COVID lockdown, there's a deadly virus. You better not go out and get exercise. Well, that's exactly what I should be getting if there had been a deadly virus, which, of course, there wasn't. Jed?
Right. It seems to be we'll come up with any excuse under the sun to wish away, because that's what they're trying to do, wish away the heart attacks and the sudden deaths that we are all witnessing and the excess deaths we are witnessing. It's absolutely everything under the sun except the obvious thing, which is the clot shot. We didn't have people, footballers dropping dead on the football pitch. We didn't have boxers dying of heart attacks. Yes, we had them dying of brain injury, but we didn't have them dying of heart attack. We didn't have elite sports people collapsing playing tennis. We didn't have, you see what I mean? It's an ongoing, we didn't have this, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. And to hide all this we didn't have, they're now going, oh, yeah, going out in the sun can give you an heart attack. Blowing your nose will give you an heart attack. Having a fart will give you an heart attack. Do you know what's really bad for you? Breathing in and out, that will give you an heart attack. Yeah. They've even said breathing is bad for you.
They did.
I remember you doing a podcast.
Well, it's bad for the planet, too, so you should definitely stop.
Well, absolutely, but breathing in and out is bad for you. So if breathing is bad for me, if I stop breathing, what happens? I die. And then they'll come up with another excuse why I die, because it wouldn't be breathing in and out that killed me. It would be, I don't know, it'd be the bottle top of the beer I've just drank, the lovely large Selmengel I've just had over the past hour. That has killed me. I don't know, picking my nose will kill me. Cutting my hair will kill me. Having a shave will kill me. Anything other than the jab will kill you. That's what they're trying to do. Anything in the world. And every day there is a different excuse why people are dying.
Yeah. Grantonio, do you want to come in on this one?
Yeah, on a couple of issues. The they they closed down the gyms. They stopped people from going to gyms. And then they had that, was it Eat Out to Help Out? Was that what it was called? Something like that. So close down the gyms, but then go off to KFC and McDonald's and see how that does for your health. But what Jed said about the football, I mean, I don't watch football. It's not my thing, but it for a lot of people in this country, it's a religion. Second to the NHS, it's the national religion. It's my understanding that this is happening like two or three times a week. And that one about people dropping down in plain sight, I mean, quite literally, this is like an arena where everybody can see a footballer dropping down with a heart attack. And there must be countless numbers of people at the matches who are sort of saying to each other, what is going on? We've never seen this happen at such a rate before. They must all be saying that in the pubs after the game.
They are, mate. Well, they are. No, sorry, David. I know you want to go to something else, and I know I'm jumping in a lot tonight, and sometimes I do, and sometimes. But they are. But the problem is, they then go on, they turn on the BBC News, and the BBC News says, oh, no, this person dropping dead on the football pitch wasn't. Because they don't say it wasn't because of the clot shot. They tell you a reason what it was, which is anything other than clot. And they go, oh, all right. Oh, it must have been that then. Must have been the fact that he had. I don't know, he picked a pimple on his bum and that gave him an heart attack.
Do you think so many of them have been vaccinated and they're all kind of in denial? I think.
Yes, no, that's it. Because if they actually admit that he's dropping dead because he's had the jab and the BBC are lying to me saying he dropped dead because he picked a pimple on his bum, yeah, somebody's lying somewhere and you're sat there thinking, well, I've had what he's had. Am I going to die too? Am I going to have a heart attack? And, you know, and I tell you now, even my good lady, you know, when she sees all these heart attack stuff, knowing that our kids have had at least one of the jabs, I don't know, some of them may have had two, but I do know that not all of them have had two, they've had one. But, you know, and she worries whether our kids are going to crook it as well. And it is a worry for a mother and for me, of course. But, you know, they were grown adults. They took their choice. I know that at least two of them regret that choice now. And hopefully they didn't have the. Because I don't think everybody got a death shot. I think some didn't get a death. I think there were batches that were death shots. Although those batches were a very large in number, I think they were scattered globally. So it wouldn't be. You know, the UK had 60 million people die because of the clot shot. They were spread globally to try and hide the fact that they are literally.
With regards to what you were saying about your family worried about family members that have been jabbed, I remember at the time I had family members and friends, good friends, who I assumed were all very intelligent, who were worried that I hadn't been vaccinated. I mean,
Yeah. And I know David has shown some bits as well on these, you know, your Vine people, and other people, other celebrities and people, you know, who were, and Piers Morgan, you know, you've got to get, if you don't get your clot shot, you should go in jail. You should be, you know, pariah in society. You know, he says he's changed his tune. He's only changed his tune because he thinks that's where the mood of the country is going. If you get a celebrity who says X on one day and Y on the next day, they're only doing it because they think it's the popular thing to do, and that will keep them in the news or in the groove that they need to be in. Yeah.
I lost a Twitter account over that prick, by the way. he put out about millions of young men, you know, 100 years ago, going off to war, facing war for several years, but you won't face a 4-second injection. And yep. I told him that, see, the people that won't bow down to people like you, they're the people I'll go to war with, because they'll stand up to people like
Amen.
You and they won't give in. And I lost that one Twitter account over him. But not that long ago, he was interviewed and he said, oh, as a journalist, maybe I should have asked questions. No shit. Sorry, Sherlock. You know, that's the first thing you're taught as a journalist. Question everything. Question everything. And you didn't, Morgan. You just parroted it out and embarrassed people and shamed people for not taking it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the but then again, it's a good thing, Adrian, because we've seen through all these commentators. If ever we thought they had anything about them, which I didn't, but some people did, then we know that they have nothing about them now. Okay, folks, it's coming up to 9 o'clock, and we are still a little bit shy. I wanted to get to the subject of Trump. Paddy, I want to talk about Trump 2.0. I wanted to talk about the UK government bringing in new legislation to define extremism and how that's going to work out, who that's going to put in prison. In fact, everything that they're doing at the moment is to get us all in prison, guys. So maybe we'll be able to do these shows live from prison. But
see, the broadcasting from cell block C. Here we are at the dissident corner.
Yeah, exactly. Adrian, sorry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I hope all those journalists actually get caught. You know, see the likes of your Jeremy Vines, your Matthew Wrights. Do you remember the abuse Beverly Turner got on This Morning and on Matthew Wright's show when she was openly questioning and producing stats and they all just ganged up against her? There's so many in that media establishment needs brought down.
There was also so many, Adrian, that I used to like. And I used to like Jeremy Vine. Jordan Peterson, do you remember that? Take the damn vaccine. Yep. Yeah, it's a shame. But it's good in that they've been...
Yeah, and you're right, Grantonio.
Jordan
you know,
has at least admitted that he was wrong.
True.
Who? Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson. Maddie, Peterson has admitted he was wrong.
Yeah. But okay, hang on. Yeah, he did. But here's the thing. In the moment of the storm, who were the true and the trusted? Who were the people that stayed resolute throughout this? It wasn't Jordan Peterson, and it wasn't any of the Piers Morgan.
No, we were pilloried for it. We were pilloried and silenced and stoned.
But the scary thing is, Peterson is a highly intelligent
yes
man.
Good point.
And that's the issue.
That is scary.
But I mean, I fell out with friends and family over this, like real fallout.
But the problem we've got, guys, is the establishment and the media and, you know, the civil service, the deep state in the US, etc. Let's name them all, okay? We'll just say the opposition to us, they're still in power. And unless we have a revolution, they will always stay in power. Johnsons will come and go. Yeah. Bidens will come and go. But ultimately, the establishment is still in control. And the establishment will always want to keep control. So unless it's a revolution, guys, and they all face the gallows.
Oh, we have to be careful, Jed. We have to be careful. Yeah.
I'm talking metaphorically, then we are all in the same position and nothing will change.
Well, the thing is that I'm getting an echo there, Jed. The thing is that, for sure, we've come through 4 years, and the only people I trust are the people who stood solid throughout those first couple of years, you know. So the likes of the nurse, Dr. John Campbell, the likes of the trigonometry guys, the likes of so many of those, I'm afraid the things they may be saying now are okay. But they didn't say it back then when it actually mattered. It's very easy to be wise after the war has been fought. But we were the ones in the front line getting, as you guys have been saying, pilloried and, abused and turned away from restaurants and pubs and stuff because we were unclean. So I take no lessons from these people whatsoever. And I mean, that might be seen to be, Paddy's keep telling me you trust no one. Well, I don't, I trust the people that I think showed good judgment in the first place. Anne-Marie says people thought she was bonkers. Yeah, I remember. In fact, some of the normies, I mean, let's be honest, there's still normies out there. You know, some of them are still taking the jabs, folks. It hasn't all stopped. Now, it's mostly stopped. But there are people on their seventh or eighth, like, they really are. I mean, how do we even begin to understand those people? Anyone want to venture an opinion on that?
I don't think we can understand those people because we're not in that mindset, David. You know, and these people, I say it every time. I'm almost, you know, fed up of repeating myself to some degree. But these are the ones that come home, sit the feet on the coffee table, turn the 6 o'clock news on, and get pumped full of lies and actually misinformation and disinformation. They call us for misinformation and disinformation, yet the state-funded broadcaster pumps it out 24/7 now.
With regards to people who are still getting jabbed and people who are still masking up, I saw someone recently, yesterday, on the train platform with the mask on, outdoors. I mean, maybe Darwinism will sort these people out. A friend of mine said, it was a while back, he said that I have a, I can't remember exactly how he put it, but I have this natural tendency to distrust the government. And I said to him, that's not a bad long-term strategy to mistrust everyone. But with regards to who do we trust, David, you know, I trust you. I trust Jed, Adrian, Paddy. I trust all the people on here. I think it's great what you guys do. And this is like a great sort of emotional valve for me every Thursday to chat to like-minded people.
I see, interesting here, a good friend, Republican Rocker, and thanks, by the way, for that compliment, Grantonio. Gigi Law, a.k.a. Republican Rocker, says, not only was I banned over my anti-jab comments in 2022, my bank account was frozen for 2 months. Yeah, well, this is the direction we're going in. They're absolutely going to move us to the point where hate crime speech and all the rest of it and digital control over the piece. I mean, here's, does anyone else find it boring being a conspiracy theorist? Because we're always right. I can't think of one thing we've said that's not been proven right.
Today's conspiracy theorist is tomorrow's truth teller. And it really is, because everything we've said, I'm going to take this back, because everything we've said since late 2015 for the referendum, yeah, has come true. The media lied and manipulated and deceived everybody. Then we got the pandemic. They lied and manipulated, and we kept telling the truth. We were put, as has been said, pilloried from dawn till dusk. But every single day, whether we are climate skeptics and say no, utter bollocks on the net zero, utter bollocks that the planet is warming up, utter bollocks to the jab, utter bollocks to heart attacks, etc., etc., etc. You name it, we can say bollocks about. We are being proved right on a daily basis, because every single day they go, oh yeah, maybe it did come from Wuhan. Oh yeah, maybe that type of shot is bad for you, the Moderna one or the Johnson & Johnson one. Oh, look what the government have done. You now can't get that jab. Oh, maybe the PCR tests are phony tests. Oh, look, we now get a report saying the tests were phony and they'll always give you the false result. You see what I'm saying? Everything that we have said from dead dot, every day has been proven right. Your Beth Turners of the world, pilloried on TV, but she's been proven right every single day for what she has said, and so are we. And as long as us conspiracy theorists with our tinfoil hats keep on with our conspiracy theories, like we didn't go to the moon, yeah, etc., etc., and it wasn't the Titanic, it was the Olympic, so on and so forth. We've even got Jeff buys cars. Even Jeff Bynes Cars is reading John Hamer's books and finding them absolutely fascinating. It is waking him up even more than he thought. And our good friend John Hamer, yeah. So we are truth tellers. We are tomorrow's truth tellers.
David, very quickly, with regards to conspiracy theorists, it's my experience that the left are also conspiracy theorists. You don't have to trawl too long through left-wing Twitter to see conspiracy theories about how the Tories are trying to kill everybody through austerity and all this sort of stuff, or Israel are planning a genocide on the Palestinians. So this one about being a conspiracy theorist, you know, kind of works.
Well, it's very true, actually, yeah. Some of the most... Yeah, sorry, Paddy, you wanted to come in?
No, I was going to say about being a conspiracy theorist, we're not We're the resistance. We're the people that can think logically and critically. When we hear something that doesn't make sense to us, we look into it and we get information for ourselves.
Yeah.
But I believe we're actually here for a different reason. We understand what's going on for different reasons. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to start speaking about really controversial things that go against the public norm.
Yeah,
so right, people think I'm crazy, lose my family, you know, lose my friends, be thought of as a weirdo. I had experiences that really changed my mind. And I think when other people start to wake up, they will ask us for answers to different things to help them understand what's going on.
Well, I think that's a great term you used. You know, we're the resistance. I think we
are.
And I, by the way, Anne-Marie says the elites conspire against us. Oh, they absolutely do. And Anne-Marie, there's a reason for that. It's because they fear us. Because whilst we may be relatively small in numbers, our numbers are growing, Adrian. You've talked about this in previous podcasts we've done. You know, the number of awakened people is a damn sight greater now than it was 3 years ago.
It is. And it's because of you and different shows and different people putting different information out and being willing to plant a seed in someone's head. You know, I have somebody in work who just melts my head in so many things, and he was on about Trump. And I was like, Ran, ask yourself a simple question. Why would a billionaire who's 70, has money, fame, power, put himself through hell on earth for 8 years?
And his family.
When he
and
doesn't,
his family.
When he doesn't need to. Why is he doing this? Is there not a real reason behind it? It's not for fame, money, power, because he has it.
They're about to seize all his buildings.
Yes, I know, but it's planting seeds like that in people's head, because that guy now comes to me and goes, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And I think that's why we're here, because we can point out logical counter arguments to the narrative that's being pumped out that makes people sit back and go, actually, that's quite a valid point. Yeah, I'm going to look at that and think more about that. And I think that's why we're really here.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's the thing, that we do have a role to play. And I think the other thing is we're all a wee bit Teflon, aren't we? We withstood it all. I mean, it doesn't matter what they threw at us, you know, all the nonsense. And as we've come along this journey together, I think we're getting stronger again. Don't you? I mean, you know, I think, like, even though we don't swallow the royal psyops is ongoing at the moment, we don't swallow anything that they're throwing our way, their hate crime nonsense, you know, the importance of Islam in our societies. We don't buy any of this, and we're not going to buy it. And ultimately, you know, for things to change, you do need to have a core of people anyway who are solid, and that's us.
No, I agree, David. I agree, because I think we've been right on so many things, but we were right when it was unfashionable to be right. When, you know, we didn't follow the narrative, we questioned, and we are growing in numbers. You know, we've got, what I keep saying, 40 years of the march through the institutions. We've got that to counteract. It's going to take time. You know, I might be dead and buried before we win the war, but each day we're winning a battle. And it might be, you know, we win on the narrative of the jab because of a particular study that's come out, or we might win because we get our neighbor to go, oh, I never questioned that, I'll go and look at it, like with Adrian's just said, or something like that. And every day we have our little battles and we win, and those battles will end up, we will win the war. And we might not, we, David, because me and you are, I know you're slightly older than me and I'm still but we're older than the people that most of the people that listen to us. But the point is, we might be dead and buried.
Are you crusty?
The people, that listen to us and that join in with our, particularly with our podcasts, every Thursday, they're the ones, they're the seeds that will then go out and talk to their friends and their friends and friends and friends and so on. And we will grow, that the movement will grow, the truth tellers will grow, and we will win the war in the end. We've got a lot of battles to fight. Some we'll lose. Definitely we'll lose some. and we may have to concede some to win ultimately in the end.
Well, listen, we're going to have to concede that we haven't quite hit the number of the old pod beans or whatever it is that we need. So, but I have gone an extra 15 minutes, so I think that's fair enough. And I'm going to bring these proceedings to an end. But before I do, I just want to make you all aware of the fact that next Monday night on the live show that Jed and I put on, we've got a certain June Slater coming on. And I don't know if, I'm sure you probably, if you're on social media, you know June. She's Northern English, so that should be entertaining. She's very straightforward in her views. I like June, and I think you'll enjoy her with me, just like I hope you enjoyed Tim Davies, the RAF, ex-RAF pilot that I had on the other night. And then I've got someone coming on in a fortnight's time called Laura Aboli. And we're going to talk about transhumanism. Yeah, transhumanism. And hopefully you'll find that one interesting because she's very good on the whole transhumanist agenda and how it's linked in so much to all the stuff we've been chatting about because it's all the same kind of thing. You know, they want, as chatting to Anne-Marie here, she sort of says, you know, they hate us. Yeah, they hate us and they want us dead. That's the truth of the matter. Also hoping to get another, just giving you a heads up for the next several weeks, a pilot, a US pilot, to talk about 9/11. I promised you this one.
Oh, here we go. Bring up the tinfoil.
Yeah, Paddy, you'll be able to have give your opinion on that one. But anyway, so we've got someone coming on to talk about transhumanism, someone to talk about just general UK matters, someone to talk about 9/11. Grantonio, if only I could get Morrissey. However, Grantonio, I'll just leave you with a little hint. There is someone who did appear in a Morrissey video who I am recording with tomorrow, and it'll be going out on this other individual's platform. And hopefully, once that's gone out, I'll point you to it. And everything I'm saying now will make sense in the next, I don't know, 48 hours or so. But anyway, as always, look, guys, David, it's been a breeze. Yep.
David, just before you close the show, I know you don't like plugging things, but I will plug it. Guys, please remember, we've got the video of the live event that we held in London on the 1st of March. It's live. It's now available for sale. £2.99. Don't know what that is in dollars. Can't be much more. £2.99. You can watch it for up to 2 months anytime you like. Go over to davidvance.net, follow the steps to buy it, and you can watch it, guys. It's a great watch. It's a good quality video. And the two guests that we had were absolutely fantastic with Father Calvin Robinson and the one and only Lawrence Fox. Get over there, guys. $2.99, and you can watch it for a couple of months. And the reason we say a couple of months is because it won't be long before we're putting the next one up that you can watch potentially. So,
yeah, no, thanks, Jed, for all of that. Yeah, so listen, guys, thanks again, everybody in the studio, everybody in the stream. Thanks for all the pod points that you have sent. Appreciate that so much. Thanks for your continued support on the podcast channel. For those of you who are following me over in Substack as well, appreciate that there. And we shall return next Monday night with June Slater, and then next Thursday night on this one here is on the live podcast. And look out for my appearance, as I say, with someone who was in a Morrissey video. Until then, my friends, thank you all so much. Speak soon.